The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get into things, I just dropped a new lyric video for my single, The Artist Gets Raped. Yes, that is the title of the song, but if you actually listen to the lyrics, you will get it. But you can check that out on my official website, katietrop.net, or on my official YouTube channel, youtube.com/katietrop. I would appreciate that. But let's get into Monday Night Football in the hilarious collapse that was the Eagles choking hard in this one. It was a struggle. I mean, both of these teams, it felt like they were just running through the mud, if you will, because it just seemed like it was moving at a snail's pace. The Eagles pretty much had the upper hand the majority of the way. The Falcons were just kind of just hanging on as best as they could. Gotta say, Kirk Cousins does not look like he's 100%. It looks like he's making the throw, but not like finishing the pass. Like it just doesn't seem to make it to even. There were a couple passes where he was throwing to wide open receivers, and they like fizzled out at the end. So I'm not sure if that's just the new offensive scheme he's in, if that's him just coming off of this Achilles injury. But I gotta say, Kirk Cousins does not look. He didn't look that great, in my opinion. But he was good enough to drive his Falcons down for the game-winning drive. So basically, the Eagles straight up choked this away. They were driving down the field with a lead. They had the lead 18 to 16 or 18 to 15, some random thing. Basically, they had a little lead here. And they were just driving down the field. They were in the red zone. And then Kellen Moore decided to get too cute. This is what Kellen Moore does. This is why I'm glad he is no longer the offensive coordinator with the Dallas Cowboys. And hopefully he's going to continue to do these hilarious choke artist things that he used to do all the time with the Cowboys, and he's already done it with the Eagles. So on this drive, the Eagles are driving. They've already made it so the Falcons spent all their timeouts. So they have no timeouts, and all the Eagles have to do, it's a 3rd and 3, okay? Even if they don't get it, they're in field goal range. So you just run the ball. And chances are it's going to be 4th and 1, or it's going to be a 1st down, or you're just going to take a bunch of time off the clock and kick the field goal. Instead, Kellen Moore gets real cute. And he decides to have Jalen Hurts run out for a bootleg. He passes the ball to Saquon Barkley, who is wide ass open and who should make this catch every day of the week, but he did not make this catch, and he dropped it. And so not only did the clock stop, but, and I mean, it stopped at a good time, too. There was, I think, like a minute 48-ish left on the clock by the time the Falcons got the ball. So the Eagles kicked the field goal. They go up, but they only go up by 6 points. So if the Falcons are able to drive down the field and get the touchdown plus the field goal, plus the extra point, then they are going to be walking off with the win. Well, not only did the offense fall apart, but this defense fell apart too. They were letting Kirk Cousins just drive down the field like it was no thing. And the Falcons got all the way down the field. They ended up scoring and then kicking the extra point, and they would walk away with the win 22-21. Like I said, hilarious in my opinion, just because I'll take an Eagles choke any day of the week, but That was quite the choke, especially by Kellen Moore. So shout out to Kellen Moore for continuing to do what you do, and that is call really stupid plays at inopportune times. I mean, shit. All the Eagles had to do was run the ball. I bet you they would have got the 1st down. And if they had got the 1st down, they could have just downed the ball, and they would be walking off with the win. But instead, the Falcons walked off with the win. All right, so let's get to the top 10 NFL power rankings for this week. Lots of changes, of course, because, you know, last week it was just a bunch of random teams, but now it's starting to take a little bit of more shape, but I don't expect to see a few of these teams in here for that long. So let's get started with number 1 remains the Kansas City Chiefs. They're 2-0, and yes, they have got a couple of lucky breaks to end both of their games this season, but you know what? They make the plays when they need to, and that's all that matters. To me, their receiving core looks a lot better. Their defense is holding it down. There is no loss for this defense. This defense is just kicking everybody's ass, and they really are why they got this win over the Bengals last week. So the Chiefs are still the defending Super Bowl champions. They still look damn good. They still have Patrick Mahomes, so they are still the number one team on my power rankings this week. Then at number two in my top 10 NFL power rankings, a team I wasn't quite sure I was taking that serious last week. Now we are taking them serious, and that is the New Orleans Saints. They are 2-0 on the season. Right now, they have scored a total of 91 points already. 11 touchdowns on the season. And the reason why I've bumped them up here is not just because they're scoring so many points, but they've pretty much had two complete games. Complete domination of the Carolina Panthers, their division rivals, and then complete domination of the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas. And it just, they are playing great offensively, playing great at the quarterback position. Alvin Kamara's healthy. Receivers look good. The defense is locking it down. Coaching staff is taking care of business. The New Orleans Saints look like a damn good team right now to me. And so I have them at number two, at least for this week. We'll see how the rest of the season shapes out. But to me, they've had two perfect, complete games where they barely, I bet you they have like five mistakes you could point out in the first two games of the season. Then at number three on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Houston Texans, overall record of 2-0. This team is smack you in the face defense. This team is just killing it defensively. They have 9 sacks as a defense on the season, 3 interceptions, 2 touchdowns. That's what this defense is doing right now. They are locking it down. I mean, I was expecting the offense to be what's carrying them. No, this defense, like I said, smack you in the mouth, old school, beat your ass up defense. Houston Texans defense just killing it, looking good, and this team's looking good right now. Then at number four in my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Buffalo Bills, overall record of 2-0. Do they finally have a running game? It looks like James Cook, you know, he had 3 touchdowns in the last game, so Josh Allen did not need to carry the team that, because he can. He's 100% capable. He already had to carry them back in game one. I'm sure there's going to be another game or two he's going to have to shoulder the load, but in order for the Bills to be taken seriously, Josh Allen's going to need some help on offense. And James Cook, so far, it looks like he might be the help he needs. Who knows how the rest of the season is going to shape out for Buffalo, because I still have a bunch of questions with their receiving core. But for right now, the Buffalo Bills are 2-0. They're playing pretty solid, and Josh Allen is playing at in a high level right now. Then at number five on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, overall record of 2-0, and to me, this team is all Baker Mayfield all motherfucking day. Dude is 474 yards passing, 5 touchdowns, and only 1 interception. He has been just on some. He has looked so great. I mean, he got his ass handed to him in this last game, but I mean, I'm sorry. That's just, it's not his fault. His offensive line wasn't doing that great of a job blocking, but I mean, whatever. They still got the win. His team is 2-0, and he's really, really just ripping apart defenses through the air, and he's just looking like a really nice pickup by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like, I feel like this is where Baker is probably going to retire and probably have some success with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, at least right now is what it looks like to me. But right now, this team is, they're scoring a lot of points as well, just like the New Orleans Saints, so Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now at 5. And then number 6 on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the San Francisco 49ers. They did take a tumble this week because they are 1-1. They did lose, but I mean, they didn't get their asses beat or anything. I mean, they're still the Niners. They still have talent to the ceiling, but I will say Deebo Samuel is now injured. So Christian McCaffrey already injured. Deebo Samuel, he's the dude. Deebo is the engine that runs this offense. So I kind of look at the Niners going, I don't know, this Deebo injury might cost you a couple of games, but we'll see, because even though Christian McCaffrey's been out, they have this running back, Jordan Mason, who's just come out of nowhere. He's got 247 yards already on the season with 2 touchdowns. So they're doing pretty solid without Christian McCaffrey, so I wouldn't be shocked if they're able to get past this Deebo Samuel injury. But he is the engine of this offense, and he really does change the way things happen, offensively at least, and the way games are called and really the way defenses play them. I mean, he's really difficult to bring down, especially in the open field. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Brock Purdy, though, he actually leads the league right now in passing. It's only 2 weeks, but still he's got 550 passing yards on the season and a touchdown. So it looks like he's going to have to be the dude. We all thought this is now the starting quarterback for the 49ers. Well, now it looks like he's going to have to be the dude with no Deebo and no Christian McCaffrey on the offensive side of the ball. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, the Detroit Lions. Overall record of 1-1. This defense is also a smack you in the mouth type of defense. Aiden Hutchinson, he had 4.5 sacks in this last game. They initially said he had 5.5 sacks, but they knocked one sack off of his total there. But he has 4.5 sacks on the season, and he had 4.5 sacks in this last game, and he is just looking like a monster off of the ball right now. So he looks like he's growing into his own, and I mean, he was already a beast his rookie year, but now that he's had a couple of seasons under his belt, now it looks like this defense is stout. I don't know, man. Look out for Aiden Hutchinson. This guy's probably going to make a real good case for the Defensive Player of the Year, and I know it's real early. But Hutchinson is just a man among boys right now. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I've got the Minnesota Vikings. Overall record of 2-0. Defensively, this team is looking really, really fucking good. I mean, they're carrying them. Patrick Jones has got 4 sacks on the season. Yeah, who the hell is Patrick Jones? I don't know, but he's got 4 sacks, and he's second in the league behind Hutchinson right now with sacks. So that just goes to show you the Vikings doing fantastic defensively. I mean, overall as a defense, they have 11 sacks and 3 interceptions, so they're getting some turnovers as well. The Minnesota Vikings offense, you know, outside of Jefferson, you know, there's a lot of questions. I still don't know if I believe in Sam Darnold all that much, but right now the Minnesota Vikings are flying high, and especially on the defensive side of the ball. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, speaking of defense, I have the Pittsburgh Steelers. Overall record of 2-0, and that's just all this team is. I really actually don't expect us to be talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers that much this season in my top 10. I wouldn't be shocked if they start falling out, just because it's all defense for this. I mean, T.J. Watt is phenomenal. I just mentioned Hutchinson. T.J. Watt is that same thing. As a matter of fact, T.J. Watt is the heartbeat of this Pittsburgh Steelers team. I mean, when he's injured, the Steelers are 1-11. That's their record. That's what type of he adds in wins. He adds in touchdowns. He adds in sacks. He just adds in fear of the opposing offense that he's going up against. So, and he shows it, and it's a proven freaking fact. You go take a look at the stats on T.J. Watt and how he changes the game for this Pittsburgh Steelers team, and really, you know, gives them at least confidence to win and just gives them a chance to win every game that he's in it. It's all defense for me with the Steelers. The offense, very vanilla, very terrible, and I expect them at some point to start getting blown out because the offense is just extremely anemic. And then rounding out the top 10 NFL power rankings this week, I have the Los Angeles Chargers. Overall record of 2-0. J.K. Dobbins has just come in like a wrecking ball for this team. He's got 266 yards on the season with 2 touchdowns. He's been a game breaker. We all kind of expecting Justin Herbert to be the leader of this offense. Right now it's Dobbins who's making all the difference. Their defense is actually pretty solid as well. I feel like the Chargers do still have a lot of questions to answer, but right now they're 2-0, and that's all that matters right now. And Dobbins is, it feels like he's still running right now. And then moving on to the Thursday night football game this week, we have the New England Patriots at the New York Jets. Right now, the Jets are a 6.5-point favorite. And if you know, the Patriots actually have a nice little winning streak against the Jets. I don't remember the exact streak, but they haven't beat the Patriots in a million years. So we'll see if they're finally able to break that streak. I think it's going to come to an end. As a matter of fact, I think this is finally going to be a very solid and a very complete game from the Jets. The last couple of games have been very shaky for them, but I feel like their defense is going to step it up in this one. I feel like they don't want to be embarrassed at home again by the New England Patriots. And in the first game for Gerard Mayo as the coach as well, you got rid of Bill Belichick. You don't want to start a winning streak with Mayo as the coach. So I feel like Aaron Rodgers is going to come out, have a solid game, because this is his first home game technically since he tore his Achilles. So I just look at the Jets coming out in this one, and I think actually the Jets are going to dominate from start to finish. And I have the Jets winning big, 28-10. Now let's move on to college football and the top 12 rankings this week. We have us a new number one, y'all, and that would be my Texas Longhorns. Hook 'em horns, motherfucker. Hook 'em horns, hook 'em horns, hook 'em horns, motherfucker. Now, Quinn Ewers got injured in this last game against UTSA, and Arch Manning came in and scored 5 touchdowns, 4 through the air, 1 on the ground on a 60-yard run. The guy, it's so weird being a Longhorns fan right now, because like it used to, once Colt McCoy left, we have not had a quarterback in a million freaking years. And all of a sudden now we have Ewers and Manning. Ewers does need to watch his back. A lot of people are acting like there is no quarterback controversy here. As a Texas Longhorns fan, since we picked up Arch Manning, when that dude steps on the field, that crowd gets loud. You can hear it. You know Arch Manning is coming in the game just because of the crowd, because we all want to see it, myself included. Don't get me wrong. Love Ewers. Love what he's been doing. I love what he did last year. Love what he's been doing this year. It's unfortunate he got injured, but I'm going to keep it real. If Arch Manning plays the way he did in this last game, and we hit the Oklahoma game, and let's just say it's up in the air on who's going to be the starter, and we just go Ewers. If Ewers starts out shaky or looking bad, sorry, Ewers, you getting pulled, and Manning's getting put in. And as he should. I mean, I know that sucks, but I mean, at the end of the day, you can't keep that talent on the fucking bench. That's just the way it is. So it sounds like the injury's not as bad as it is for Ewers. It looks like he might only miss 2 weeks. And if that's the case, then yeah, you put Ewers back in. See, feel out the situation. Because Ewers was having a fantastic Heisman Trophy type year. But I'm sorry, Manning looked damn good. And that was a very exciting game. It was very exciting to watch him play. As a Longhorns fan, I am excited for our future with Arch Manning, that is for sure. But it's looking like our future of Arch Manning already might be the present. And while Ewers, I think, should absolutely be the starter, I'm just telling y'all, if Arch keeps playing that way, and we get to this Red River rivalry, and he's still playing that way, it's real hard to yank him out of the game. Just saying. But the Longhorns are number one this week. They smashed UTSA last week 56-7, and they have Louisiana Monroe this Saturday. So if we kick ass again, we should still be number one. But it's so fantastic to see my Longhorns at number one. It's been literally over a decade since we have been number one. So I am here for it. Love it. And it's fantastic. And the reason why we're number one is because Georgia is number two this week, because they almost lost to Kentucky. They barely beat Kentucky 13-12, and that's why they slipped. They do have a bye this week, and they will be playing Alabama next. Then at number three, we've got Ohio State. They just smashed WMU 56-0. They will be playing Marshall this weekend. Number four is Alabama. They are 3-0 on the season. They just killed Wisconsin 42-10. They have a bye this week, and like I said, they will be playing Georgia next week. Number five is Ole Miss. They are 3-0 on the season. They just smashed Wake Forest 40-6. They're playing GASO this weekend. Then at number six, we have Tennessee. They are 3-0 on the season. They just killed Kent 71-0. And they play Oklahoma, 15th-ranked Oklahoma this week. So they've got a big game this weekend, even though Oklahoma really isn't looking that good. So I kind of expect Tennessee to actually dominate that one. Also hoping they do, too, because fuck OU. And then number seven is Missouri. They are 3-0 on the season. They just beat Boston College 27-21 in a close one. They will be playing Vanderbilt this weekend. Then at number 8, we have the U, Miami. They are 3-0 on the season. They just took out Ball State 62-0, and they have been having a fantastic year. Look out for the U. I think this is a legit team that could actually start to make a real nice run here at the end, because they are also kind of in a weak conference, so the SEC is going to beat up on each other. So look out for Miami to start rising in the ranks if they keep playing like this, and they will be playing at South Florida on Saturday. Then we have number 9, Oregon, finally had their first legit game of the weekend where they actually looked like Oregon again. They are 3-0 on the season still, but they've had a couple of close calls the first couple of weeks of the season, but they got back on track against their in-state rivals, Oregon State, over the weekend. They beat them 49-14, and they will have a bye this week and play at UCLA next Saturday. Then at 10, we have Penn State. They just got by in a close one against BGSU, 34-27. They will be against Kent this week. Then at number 11, we have USC. They are 2-0 on the season. They just took out USU 48-0, and they play against 18th-ranked Michigan this weekend. And then rounding out the AP Top 12 this week, we have Utah. They are 3-0 on the season. They just won 38-21 this week against USU. And they have a test as well against Oklahoma State, 14th-ranked Oklahoma State, this weekend. So we are starting to get into the legit matchups now in college football. So I'm looking at these rankings, and I'm loving it because the Longhorns are number 1. We'll see how long it lasts, but this team is for real. And I'm excited that we have us a quarterback controversy here, because ain't nothing wrong with having two excellent quarterbacks at the helm. But it's going to be very interesting to see what happens here. But yeah, so enjoy the rest of the week of sports, y'all. And hook 'em horns, motherfuckers.